Do you want to ride your bike, or do you want to learn how to train so you can really ride your bike?
It's all about building fitness. Get your legs spinning and get your heart pumping. It's not about training what you're good at. It's about training what you're not good at. They'll want to know what you've been doing for the last few months because you'll be kicking their ass. This is exactly how you get ahead. This is exactly how you get stronger. I'm giving you the tools you need to be a beast on two wheels. If you do the things I'm talking about, you'll be stronger, you'll be fitter, you'll be faster, and everyone around you will notice the difference. This is Tailwind Coaching, and you're listening to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. As always, I am your host, Coach Rob, and I've got a great show for you today. Today, we're going to be talking about five ways to accelerate your spring fitness. All of you who've been listening to me for a while know that it's been brutally cold here in the Northeast, and through much of the country, in fact. And even those of you who are listening to me abroad, unless you were in Australia, you know that this has been a really tough winter. And that means most of you who have actually been sitting on your trainers, sitting on your rollers, doing your intervals, and in general being bored out of your skull for quite a while now. Now is the time when we get to get outside and when we get to really put all of the skills that we learned during our winter months to the test. And this is going to be a quick way for you to get a few ideas on how you can take those skills and accelerate your spring fitness so that you can get a big bump as you start doing your group rides, your races, your fondos, etc., etc., and so forth. So we'll get into that in just a second. But first, I would like to take care of a little bit of housekeeping, a few small things. First of all, I want to thank my sponsors. I want to thank Road ID. Something that I never leave the house without is my Road ID. Imagine you're out riding. Imagine the unthinkable happens. You have an accident. You crash. You're hit by a car. God forbid you have a heart attack or something of that nature. Road ID is always there with you. It'll always be providing some information to EMS or first responders or even the guy who just happens to stop and, you know, be nice enough to stop and help you up by the side of the road, all right? And it'll be nice that your loved ones know that you have ID on you, because honestly, how many of us actually carry a wallet when we ride? You know, I know there are some of you that do. I've received a few emails to, you know, of that nature, but anyway, Road ID. Head on over to their site. There's a link in the upper right-hand corner of all of my web pages on my website, tailwind-coaching.com. Head on over there. If you click through and you purchase something, they will toss me a few shekels to pay for bandwidth and for hosting space and things like that so that I can continue to bring you some free information, some free podcasts. Anyway, my second sponsor that I'd like to thank Competitive Cyclist. It's more than well known that I love to support my local shop. I'm going to be picking up my Stages power meter for my racing bike from them actually today's Thursday that I'm recording. This is Thursday, April 3rd. This is being recorded. Saturday, I'm going to be picking that up. local shops are the lifeblood of the cycling community. They're a gathering place. They're a place where we can get our bikes serviced if we just feel like dropping it off because we don't have the time or we don't have the expertise or the tools. They are also a place for us to meet other cyclists, and to, of course, ride from. And, of course, just go in there and proverbially shoot the shit. And there goes my clean rating on iTunes. anyway, I love my local bike shop, but there are times when the local shop just doesn't have what I'm looking for. They don't have the sizes that I'm looking for, or it's a special order or something like that. Competitive Cyclist has a great selection of stuff. They've got a huge high-end selection of road mountain bike equipment, components, frames, and of course high-end clothing for both road and mountain bikes. Folks, I've used them a number of times in the past. They do a great job. Their customer service is second to none. And if you've got anything that you're looking for right now as spring starts to roll on,
go ahead, visit the website, tailwind-coaching.com. Look in the upper right corner, click on the competitive cyclist sponsor logo, and anything you order through them, again, like I said, with Road ID, will contribute a few dollars to offsetting my bandwidth and my hosting expenses, so I can continue to bring you a lot of good free stuff. All right. Now, again, sponsors aside, I'll take a moment here. There may be a new sponsor actually coming along here, which a number of people have talked to me about using their products, and I'll release that as soon as I actually get them up on the website and actually get everything finalized. But it'll actually be an interesting sponsor that fits very nicely in with the Tailwind Coaching mission to make you a better cyclist. So that'll be coming right along the pipe. Anyhow, if you're looking to get hold of me, CoachRobDC@gmail.com, you can always feel free to shoot me an email. You can find me on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. You can find me on Twitter at CoachRobDC. You can find me at any number of places. Just take a look in the upper right-hand corner of the website, again, at tailwind-coaching.com. And you'll be able to find where I'm at. You can follow me on Stitcher, on Podbean, on iTunes, on Blueberry. You can follow me on Strava. There's a ton of different places. So you can find me one way or another. Now, speaking of iTunes, those of you who are liking what you hear, please do me a favor. Head on over to iTunes. Find this podcast. Rate it 5 stars. The more people that I have rate that podcast, the more people that rate it highly, the more people will see it, the more information gets out there, and the more people I get to help. Folks, those of you who know me, I am a medical professional. I'm a coach. I give a lot of free information out. I give a lot of advice out. I spend my entire life helping people. I love to help people. So do me a favor and help me out so that I can help some other folks. Get on over there, rate that 5 stars. If you really hate what you're hearing, rate it 1 star, but at least leave me a note so I can maybe improve on it. But I'd love the 5-star rating. That'd be great. Go ahead on over to iTunes. Rate it up. Thanks. Okay. Those of you who are listening to this podcast, you will know that you have the discount code PODCAST10 on my Tailwind Coaching training plan store. I'll take 10% off of anything on that training plan store. And also head on over to Facebook for a special offer for the Spring Classics to take 25% off your order as long as you order the Bergbuster High Intensity Trainer Workout. You'll see that discount code over there on the Facebook page. Now, training plans available. Modular plans are always available. It's going to be time for some build season soon. Maybe some peak stuff really quickly. My criterium plan is almost finished. And as I've talked about very briefly in some of my podcasts, I've been spending the winter trying to convert my climbing self into a sprinter to more effectively cope with the kind of racing that we have here in the northeast of the United States. And that's a lot of criterium racing. And honestly, the success I've had with that is incredible. It's remarkable. And I'm actually been inspired to build a very, very specific training plan based on what I used to make that conversion happen. So you can put that on the back burner and think about it, but it will be coming up in a reasonable amount of time. All right. Training update. Those of you who listened to my Intensity Trap #2 podcast, you'll understand that I lost a month of training. I've moved into a modified build, actually a very modified version of my modular build program. I've added some higher intensity efforts, shorter duration, a lot more rest, and I've started doing a lot more unstructured, in quotes, you can't see me, but I'm doing the hand quotes, unstructured work. Lots of outdoor riding, basically just planning rides with a lot of variety in their terrain so that I have a variety of efforts that I will be putting out. And that's seeming to do a very, very good job of catching me up and without burning me out. All right, so that's a little bit of an update. Now that we've got all of that housekeeping out of the way, gee, oh God, nine and a half minutes we're at. It's a lot of updates. I gotta shorten that a little bit. Now that I've got all that out of the way, and I'm digressing, I can get into the meat and the potatoes of today's podcast, which is going to be 5 ways to accelerate your spring fitness. Stay tuned for that right after a real quick break. All right, awesome. Let's get into 5 ways to accelerate your spring fitness. Well, you've been inside, you've been doing all of your little intervals, you've been doing all your work on the trainer, you've been doing your work on the rollers. How do you get more out of your training that you've already done? I mean, haven't you already done everything you need to do? Well, yes and no, but there are a few ways that you can really, really get more out of your work that you've done in get more out of the work you've done in the winter months and really make your fitness a whole lot better in the spring months. All right. And there's a couple of easy ways. We're going to do 5 easy ways. And the number one easy way, all of you who are listening to me and have listened to me in the past are going to just sort of nod your head yes, and you're going to sort of roll your eyes a little bit, but I have to say it. This is what I do as a second job, and that is structure your training. All right? But if you're not interested in writing, or if you're not interested in writing a coach, well, if you're not interested in retaining the services of a coach, of hiring a coach, or if you're not interested in following a very specific training plan, you can do a few things to help yourself out, though. You can still structure your training. All right? One of the easiest ways to do that is pretty simple. Just don't ride junk miles. We've talked about junk miles in the past, folks. Junk miles are those miles that you basically just go out and toddle along with no goal. You have no idea of what you're doing. You're not looking at heart rate. You're not looking at power. You're not looking at anything. Well, maybe you're looking at the terrain around you or the scenery or the views or something like that. Or maybe you're chatting away with a buddy. But that kind of training, those kind of junk miles, they really don't do much for your fitness. They do, sure, do something for your mental fitness and your mental outlook. And I'm not saying they're a bad thing in that respect. If you spend all of your time doing nothing but training, you're probably going to be pretty miserable. Because I'll be honest with you guys, training is not fun. All right? When you're 5 minutes deep into a VO2 max interval, you're sitting there going, God, why am I doing this to myself? This sucks. And of course, we do it to ourselves because we know the outcome, we know the benefits of it, and all that kind of stuff. But it does it doesn't change the fact that training sucks. And if you're going to actually train, you got to cut out those junk miles, folks. Once in a while, no big deal. But if you're constantly going out doing 1 or 2 rides a week with no goal, no aim, no nothing, you're going to have a little bit of an issue with that. I'm pretty positive. All right. And along with that, cutting out the junk miles, and a good way to do that is to have a very specific goal for each ride. All right, it's about 5:30 I'm doing this podcast in the evening. I've already been out for my workout of the day, and my workout goal today was to get in a good solid set of VO2 max work, a good solid set of sprint intervals, of which I got some very good ones in. Perfectly honest, to get some real steady state work in, to get some standing work in, and the ultimate goal was to complete about 150 training stress or so out of that ride with those goals fit in there. So I have a very specific set of goals that I was looking at for this ride, and I planned the ride to hit terrain that would allow me to accomplish said goals. So it's not hard to do that, but it takes a little bit of forethought as opposed to just jumping on your bike and rolling out of the garage, if you know what I mean. All right. So along with structuring your training, you don't ride your junk miles, you get your goals set up. You need to build on your previous efforts, folks. Okay. Those of you who have been training through the winter, you have a lot of previous efforts in there, all right? You've been doing force work, you've been doing speed work, you've been doing muscular endurance work, all right? Once you've got all of those basic skills in the bag, now you can start to work on sprints, power, power intervals, okay, which would be sprint work. You can start working on longer muscular endurance or higher intensity muscular endurance on climbs, all right? A real good, simple way of talking you through this is if you haven't done a lot of base work, if you've done basically very little base work over the winter, you can't really go too crazy with the intensity, all right? You're going to have to ramp it up a little bit more slowly than you may want to do. But let me tell you, you do gain fitness a whole lot faster outside than you do inside. That's why I say inside is for base work and for building skills, outside is for actually really honing them and using these five techniques or these five, you know, five ideas to really help hone your skills outside, okay? So we've talked about riding junk miles, don't ride junk miles, you know, goals for your rides, building on your efforts. Build your training stress score. Those of you who are following me and using a power meter to control your training goals, those of you who are using Golden Cheetah need more coffee after that ride, actually. I do love a good cup of coffee, so, you know, cheers to a good cup of coffee, folks. I know somebody complained about that before, but you know what? The hell with it. There's nothing quite like a good swallow of coffee to get your brain back on track, all right? Those of you using a power meter or those of you using Golden Cheetah and a heart rate monitor are able to use something called training impulse stress or TRIMP, T-R-I-M-P-S. I don't remember what it stands for, actually, because I don't typically use it. however, the idea remains the same. Build your training stress or your TRIMPS score little by little, all right? Don't expect to go out today and do 200 training stress in this, you know, for this week and then do 500 next week. If you're not really slowly building that up, maybe by 25, 30, 40 a week, you're really going to start hurting when you start jumping around like that. All right, so be smart about, you know, ramping up your training stress and ramping up the amount of intensity you're throwing into your body. And again, don't forget, going back to the intensity trap, any outside stress is going to continue to affect you and it's going to continue to mess with your body. It's not just training stress that makes your body have to heal. It's anything that's outside of that. And I know tax time is coming up for a lot of you, and I know a lot of people are not happy about that. So there's a little bit extra stress, so maybe you're going to drop your training stress a little bit that week, and the week you do your taxes, possibly. Something to keep in mind. And along those lines, you're going to need to watch your fatigue. Remember that if you cannot hit your numbers, you're probably a little overtrained. It would be very smart to take a week off, take a week of very low intensity, very low duration, take some time off, just relax, and see how you rebound after that. Probably going to do very well. You're going to hit your numbers much better after that week off. All right, so that's the basis of structuring your training. Let's move to our second way to accelerate your spring fitness, and we're going to talk about, well, we're going to go away from the sort of broad, overreaching umbrella type statements, and we're going to go into something that's a little bit more specific, and I'm going to build these basically in order of importance. Honestly, structuring your training is probably the most important thing you can do to accelerate your spring fitness, so do not neglect it. The next best thing, however, that you can do is to build your threshold. Big, bold letters right there, folks. Build your threshold. It's like any of you in the Western New York, Northern New York area will know of Billy Fusillo and his "It's huge!" kind of thing. All right, I'm going to do the same thing. Build your threshold! You sound like somebody from Game of Thrones or something like that. Anyway... your threshold, we've talked about it before. There's an actual link. There's going to be a link on the website if you're on my website, tailwind-coaching.com. Listening to this podcast, there will be a link on the website to my post about FTP, what is it and what do we do with it. But essentially, your FTP, your functional threshold power, is your 1 hour power. How much power you can put out for an hour time trial or a 40K time trial, approximately. All right. And that is honestly one of the biggest determinants of your aerobic sporting success, all right? The higher your functional threshold power, the higher you're going to be able to work towards your VO2 max. Now, I'm not using VO2 max here as a zone 5 type of thing. I'm talking about your physiological VO2 max, okay? The amount of oxygen your body can process in milliliters per kilogram of body weight per minute of activity, okay? And that's expressed as a number, you know, 71, 75. I think LeMond was somewhere like 92 or something ridiculous like that. But VO2 max is basically the upper end of the amount of work you can do. All right. Functional threshold power, or FTP, is basically at what percentage of your absolute maximum workload can you perform before your body is unable to produce enough energy in an aerobic state? Okay. Exceeding your FTP basically means you are outstripping your body's ability to produce what's called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. I've got a stutter today, man. It's killing me. Produce ATP, adenosine triphosphate, aerobically from fat, from sugar, through an aerobic electron transport chain type process, okay? Once you exceed that, you start burning sugar exclusively in a very anaerobic state, which produces a lot of lactate. And, of course, lactate, although it is a fuel for the heart and is a fuel for a number of other things, is thought to be a part of the issue with the burning in the legs, things like that. There is a lot of evidence that that is not the case, in fact, and I tend to not believe that that is the case. But typically that onset of blood lactate accumulation is considered your functional threshold power. It's still sort of the gold standard for how things are measured. Well, some other time I'll get into the physiology behind that, but it's not for now. The bottom line is, the higher your functional threshold power, the smaller your red zone is, but the larger your, call it, green zone is, okay? When you have to exceed that, quote, green zone, you'll also have less intensity in that red zone, okay? So the bottom line is, if your functional threshold is higher than the next guy's, you can work less hard than him, or he's going to work harder than you just to produce the same effort. Now, effort is effort's kind of misleading because RPE, and we're going to get into some physiology with that, and I'm going to try and stay away from it. All right. If you have questions, just shoot me an email about it, and I'll be glad to answer them. All right, so basically, take home here, your higher threshold means you're riding under that red zone limit a lot longer or a lot, you're basically more efficient. Your body's more efficient at producing energy in an aerobic fashion. So the bottom line with that is if your event is a longer one, the longer you can stay under your red zone, under that FTP, still hang on to a pack or a group or a breakaway, the more energy you'll have left to sprint at the end of that race, all right? So it makes sense that building your threshold would be probably a pretty good idea. Maybe? Yeah, I think so. And I'll tell you one of the workouts, I'll even give a workout tip for this, folks, so get your pens out if you want to add something to your weekly routine. This is something that I call the 2x20 Tuesday. Again, I sound like a used car salesman. Give a shot for the 2x20 Tuesday. Or actually a radio DJ. But I digress again. I'm getting off topic a lot today, so that's all right. Nice workout tip, the 2x20 Tuesday. So you're going to do two intervals, 20 minutes apiece. And those are going to be at between 95 and 105% of your functional threshold power. Honestly, I will tell you, I like to start those intervals about 97, 98% of threshold and slowly ramp it up over the 20 minutes. All right. Now, you're thinking 25 minutes riding steady state has got to be boring as hell. And you're going to be right. Honestly, the best place to do these is on a trainer, which sucks when you're looking at a beautiful sunny day outside. But in many cases, if you have a day, particularly, and now I call these 2x20 Tuesday because I typically do them on Tuesday mornings, but if you have a day where you suddenly cannot, you know, get in a decent workout, jump on the trainer, do a 2x20 day, no problem. You can even add some variations to that 2x20 workout, something I like to call the get up. So every 2 minutes of that 2x20 workout, so you're 2 minutes into a 20-minute workout, jump out of the saddle and rev that gear up a little bit, get yourself up to into like a VO2 max type level, and sit back down. All right? You can also do the get up by doing this. You can get 2 minutes in, you can shift a couple gears up, you can lower your cadence, stand up, and you can do alternating 2 minutes on, 2 minutes in the saddle, I should say 2 minutes on the saddle, and then 2 minutes standing. And then when you sit back down after 2 minutes, you can shift a couple of gears easier and spin a little bit faster. And that actually helps to train your threshold at different cadences, different muscular systems, different muscle groups, which is not necessarily a bad thing either. You can also do the acceleration thing where every minute, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever you want to do, you can actually accelerate, you know, drop a gear or two easier and just get your cadence way up there. Rocket that cadence up there. Try to do maybe a minute or 2 minutes at 120 RPM and hold your threshold there. All right, so there's a lot of stuff you can do, a lot of ways you can play with it to make those 2x20s a lot more interesting. But I promise you, continue those, do about a month worth of those, once a week, you'll see a difference. You'll notice a difference, and it'll be a difference that you can really take outside and really sink your teeth into, and you'll appreciate that. You'll actually appreciate all that suffering you did on the trainer. All right? I've got three more for you here. I've got three more ways to accelerate your fitness in the spring, but I need to take a quick break right here, so I'll return right after this quick stinger. All right, welcome back here for our next three ways to accelerate your spring fitness. Now that I've got all the windows closed because it's decided it's going to start raining in my area, I really don't want everything in my place to be soaking wet. So next thing we're going to do, once we've got our threshold built, we've been spending some time working on increasing our functional threshold power. We've made sure we've gone through and structured up all of our workouts so we're not doing anything too silly. Next thing we get to do is we get to build our Zone 5 skills. All right, and by Zone 5, from all the podcasts before, you guys know, Zone 5 is your VO2 max level skills and your VO2 max level power. All right, that is really your attacking zone. It's your covering attack zone. It's your chasing zone. And many cases for the shorter climbs, anything that's less than about 8 minutes, especially in a race situation, that VO2 max, that zone 5 area is going to be your climbing zone. Unless you're just one of those freaks who has an abnormally high functional threshold power and power to weight ratio, many times in a race situation, you'll find that you're going to be in that zone 5 for those shorter, less than 8 minute climbs. Especially the steeper ones. I'm thinking of Manny Unqual, anybody? Those of you that are familiar with the Liberty City Classic or the Parks Casino Philly Classic, you guys are going to know that Manny Unqual is a real bitch to get up. And it's a freaking tough climb to boot. Yeah. Anyway, Zone 5, VO2 max skills, VO2 max level power, the attacking zone. That's your 3 to 8 minute power output. All right. That is a very predominantly anaerobic type of output. In fact, it's actually not, it is predominantly, but it's not ridiculously so. Some people, you could say you're somewhere in the neighborhood of 60-40 to 70-30 in terms of anaerobic to aerobic output. It's it really is what dictates your ability to attack and cover. All right. And that follows with the ability to get into zone 5, do something in zone 5, and then drop back into a different zone, a zone 3, a zone 4, and then repeat it all over again. All right, that is going to be the zone, and that's going to be what actually dictates your ability to do things like rotate in a group a pace line on a group ride. All right, cover moves out of a group ride or a race. Somebody attacks off the front and you want to get over there and you want to catch up to them and maybe make a little break go on, you have to be able to chase that attack. All right. rolling hills, particularly rolling hills in a group ride situation or a group ride setting, that's going to be all zone 5 and zone 5 repeatability. Now, I've talked about zone 5 repeatability in the past, and I think I made it abundantly clear that zone 5 repeatability is something that is absolutely essential to have in order to do well in any kind of racing. Fondos, unless you are really competitively racing those, you don't necessarily need a whole lot of Zone 5 repeatability and Zone 5 work, although it will certainly make you a lot faster. In one respect, Zone 5 repeatability is not just about being able to repeat those VO2 max efforts over and over and over again, but it's being able to repeat those VO2 max efforts over and over and over again with very little recovery. Okay, so what do we do to build that capacity? Well, there's a couple of things we can do. One of my favorites, and actually, to be honest with you, one of my absolute favorite workouts in period, in general, is a Zone 5 repeat workout. Yes, folks, I'm one of those sick people that just loves to suffer and loves to hurt. Okay, I mean... This workout's actually kind of fun, to be honest with you. VO2 max, long VO2 max efforts really kind of suck. You know, if you're doing a 5, 6, 7, 8 minute effort, it's mind-numbing. It's mind-bogglingly painful. Zone 5 repeat work basically gives you... it gives you a fair amount of Zone 5 or VO2 max work, but it also gives you some threshold work as well, and the variety and the repeatability is actually keeps your brain really sharp and on target. It's a lot easier to suffer when you have a real specific target instead of just go out and kill yourself for 7 minutes, right? So not only are they a fun workout, they teach your body to really recover under duress, under stress, and you can modify this workout in many different ways. But basically, my best description, if you're familiar with Tabatas, these are a very similar workout. They're not as intense, recovery is harder, and durations are typically longer. When I design these workouts, I design them a couple of different ways. I will design them as to start with like a 45-second, like 45 seconds at functional threshold power, FTP, or 100% FTP, and 15 seconds into zone 5, which is 105 to 120% of FTP, and then repeat 10 times. As people become more fit, as they sort of get stronger, you can change that to a minute in that zone 4, that FTP. You can go to 30 seconds in that zone 5 VO2 max, repeat that 10 times. If you're a real sadist, you can go to a 1-to-1 recovery to work interval. So a minute at FTP, a minute at zone 5 VO2 max, and repeat that 10 times. In fact, that's a really great workout. You'll build some really good training stress that way and very quickly. And like I said, it keeps you alert and on your game a lot better than just doing a 6 or 7 minute interval. So add that to your training. If you're going to add that to your training, I wouldn't add that more than once per week in your first build period. If you're going to, you're in build two, maybe twice a week at most. Be very careful in watching your fatigue. If you're having a lot of trouble completing these, but you didn't last week, you might want to back off a little bit. All right. So we've got three things down. We're structured up your training. We've got you doing things that are relevant to you. We've got your threshold up. We're working on your zone 5 repeatability and your zone 5 strength. How do you make it a little more interesting? I'm going to go into a quick concept here, and I'm probably going to end up doing a little bit longer post or podcast about this. And it's something called, we're going to do a little disorganized training or fartlek training. Stop snickering, those of you who are younger athletes out there. It's not terribly funny, although it sometimes is. Fartlek training is simply a type of training. It basically means speed play in Swedish. It was developed for cross-country skiers. And it was developed by a gentleman named Gösta Holmer in 1937, came to the United States about 1940, 1941, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I'm really reaching back here through my my days of exercise physiology to try and remember this. For some reason, I always remember Gusta Homer for some reason. I think our ex-phys prof drilled that into our heads so much we're never going to forget it. Ask any of my classmates. That was a little bit of a rough one. Anyway, I digress yet again. I got to keep doing that. I'm starting to sound like I'm a little bit of an amateur here. I got to stop doing these after I do my workouts. It makes me a little bit loopy, although most of you are probably laughing and enjoying it. Anyway, fartlek training basically means speed play, and the concept behind it is a very blended, continuous exercise along with interval training. What does that essentially mean? Well, honestly, you could sort of look at a Zone 5 repeat workout as a very basic type of fartlek training, okay? The biggest difference between a fartlek type training and a traditional interval type of workout is that an interval workout is very, very structured. You're doing, for example, if you're doing VO2s, you might do 3 by 4 minutes at 110% of FTP with 4 minutes of rest in between. For functional threshold, you might do 2 by 20 with 10 to 15 minutes rest in between. For muscular endurance, you might do 2 by 30 with 10 minutes of rest in between. For zone 5 repeats, like I said, you might do a minute at zone 4, you might do 30 seconds at zone 5, and you might repeat, and then rest afterwards and go into another set. That's traditional interval training, folks. Very, very structured. Not much changes. in fartlek training, intervals are more or less random duration, random recovery times in between. Intensities are a little bit more variable. All right, what does this really sound like? Did anybody put your finger on what this kind of sounds like? Anybody at all? Those of you who are out there who are saying, wow, this kind of sounds like a race, give yourself a cookie. And I don't care if it's gluten-free or paleo or whatever. Give yourself a cookie, because that's about what it is. Fartlek training is basically a great race simulation, okay? Ways to add this to your training. This is a little bit more difficult to add to your training, but what you can do is you can simply design a route. Go ahead, head on over to Ride with GPS, for that matter. Design yourself a nice route that has a mixture of flats, rolling terrain, maybe some rollers, some longer hills, some real steep hills, things like that, and just get out there and attack the route. Don't set a specific, I want to hit 17 miles an hour, I want to do X, Y, or Z. Obviously, you have to have a specific goal for that training session, but that goal is simply attack that route. Hit it good. If you need to recover, you recover. If you recover on the descents, you recover on the descents. If you need to back off on the flats, you back off on the flats, but attack that route. This is, folks, this is where Strava kind of comes in handy, where you can actually set that loop up on Strava as a private loop, and you can sort of monitor yourself. You can basically follow how you do in various portions of the route. You can follow how you do overall, things like that. So that's a really good use of Strava, actually, for fartlek or disorganized kind of training. You can also do this with friends. If you have a group of friends or teammates, and you just simply say, hey guys, we're going to go out and we're going to go for a ride, and friendly attacks are encouraged. So, you got one guy who likes to go off the front on the climbs. Well, let him go off the front on the climbs. Try and attack him. Try and catch him. Make him work for it. Other intervals which may work, I say intervals as a generic term, other things that may work, but if you have an attack and catch kind of group mentality, so if you have a relatively flat route, you can have one guy put in a nice solid attack, or two guys, you can have them rotate through in a breakaway type fashion and then have the rest of the group try to chase them down. That would be a pretty good example of fartlek training in a group, but I'll be perfectly honest with you, the best kind of fartlek training that I've ever done and that I've ever recommended to anybody is get out on a group ride and encourage that group to attack each other. That will be the best thing. And honestly, other than doing, I hate saying this, a training race that has no meaning other than fitness, there's no such thing as a race that has no meaning, right? Can't have a race that doesn't have meaning. We have to hit everything. It has to have, whatever. Get out there with a training race. Go do a training race, and that'll give you some pretty solid fartlek type training, to be honest with you. So that's worth considering as well, if you don't have a group of people who are willing to attack each other. All right. So we got four things down. Structure your training, build your threshold, build your zone 5 skills, and then use those threshold and zone 5 skills in a disorganized way by doing some fartlek style training. The last thing that you can do, and this is going to be a little bit odd to people, eliminate recovery rides. Yes, folks, you heard it right here. Eliminate your recovery rides. I'm the guy that's saying it. It goes right back to structure your training, bullet point number one on my show notes right here. Don't ride junk miles. That's exactly what recovery rides are, folks. I know a lot of you love to get out and you love to just ride, and that's great, but don't call it a recovery ride. And I'll tell you why. Most recovery rides end up being too hard. They're just way too hard. Most people go out, they do their easy days too hard, and they do their hard days too easy. That's called stagnation, folks. You basically end up riding all day long in zone 3. All right? So if you are riding to the coffee shop, you're riding to the grocery store, you're riding wherever, don't bullshit yourself. Don't tell yourself that that is a recovery ride, because it's most likely not. Okay? Most likely you're just contributing and throwing in some junk miles, adding some fatigue, and not getting any value out of it. All right? Honestly, and I'll tell you this from experience, now, simple rest, sitting on the couch, throwing on some recovery leggings, what have you, is often the most productive kind of recovery you can do. Mental recovery, doing a little bit of yoga, doing a little bit of meditation, anything that will change your mental outlook, that's going to be better than getting out on the bike. Now, that's my experience. That's the experience that I've had with a number of clients. That may not work for you. You may get very, very stiffened up if you don't get out and do a recovery ride. And that's okay. That's okay. But if you're going to do a recovery ride, I'm going to tell you this. Either get out there and get out there on a bike that has a compact chain set and a 28-tooth big cog and roll around in that, or roll around in your absolute lowest gear, whatever it might be. But this is going to be the one time you really want to watch your computer the whole time. You guys, if you're going to be doing a true recovery ride, you're not going above 50% of your threshold power, or your heart rate's not going to hit, you know, zone 3. Or at least it shouldn't. Otherwise, you're not talking about a recovery ride. All right. So that's the 5 ways right there to accelerate your spring fitness. Again, structure your training, number 1. Build your threshold, number 2. Build your zone 5 skills, number 3. Do your disorganized training by using those threshold and zone 5 skills and fitness, and then back off the recovery rides because they just do nothing but contribute to junk miles. All right. If you have any questions about those 5 ways to accelerate your spring fitness, go ahead. And don't forget that you can always email me. You can find me on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. You can find me on Twitter. If you got any questions, go ahead and shoot them out there. I'm sure there's somebody else out there that has the same questions. If you're lucky, you might make it into the next Q&A podcast. I got an email from one person who was actually incredibly excited that, hey, got my question in there. That's awesome. And yeah, you might be the next one that gets it in there. So if you have any questions, don't forget to shoot them my way. As always, again, go to iTunes, rate this podcast as 5 stars. I'd like to help out as many people as I can. Head on over to the website, tailwind-coaching.com. Visit my sponsors, buy something, help to offset the bandwidth and hosting fees a little bit. Only if you need something, of course. Well, everybody needs a new bike, right? The rules are N+1 is the number of bikes. head on over, support those sponsors. They're good people too. And as always, I want you to ride safe. I want you to ride happy. I want you to accelerate your fitness. I want you to be a beast out there now that spring is actually here. I want you to keep the shiny side up. I want you to keep the rubber side down. And I will be talking to all of you very, very soon.